Turn with us, please, in your scriptures to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 9. I'm going to read verses 18 through verse 26. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through verse 26. This same passage is also recorded in Mark and in Luke. So if you want to get the other details that go along with this story, you'll have to go back to Mark and also to Luke to get the whole of it. This passage deals with healing, and I want to preach about the healer versus the healers. Let's look at this passage. Matthew 9:18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, we know his name to be Jairus, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about him when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Jesus has now come back to his hometown, the town of Nazareth. And as he comes back home, there are just crowds and throngs and scores of people just crowded around Jesus and thronged him, and they pushed him and they pressed him. All manners of people who were diseased and who were disabled, just trying to get just a few minutes, if possible, of Jesus' precious time, because they knew that just one touch from Jesus could and would make all the difference. Well, by now, the fame of him, as it says in the scriptures, had already gone abroad. A lot of people knew about Jesus and had seen and heard some of the miracles he had done. And so he was well known at this point in time. And then we find this ruler, Jairus, coming through the crowd, and the crowd just kind of pulled aside and made way for this ruler, Jairus. And he comes to Jesus, and he falls and he worships, and he says, Jesus, my daughter's dead. And the scriptures, the whole story is his daughter is 12 years old. My daughter is dead, he said, but Lord, if you'd just come to my house, if you just lay your hand on her, she will live again. How do you know he knew that? Do you suppose he'd heard about Lazarus and the words that Jesus spoke to Lazarus, and Lazarus lived again? And he knew if he could say the words and Lazarus had come forth after being dead 4 days, he could just lay his hands on his daughter and she would live again also. So the Bible says that Jesus and his disciples prepared then to go with Jairus to his home. And as he began to press through the crowd of people, there was a woman that had an issue, a bleeding issue. And the story about her is such that she had spent everything she had on physicians. Every treatment known to man in those days, everything that could possibly have been done for her condition had been done. And the Bible says about her that her condition just got worse and worse and worse. And she had been bleeding for 12 years. And she pressed through the crowd some way. In her heart, she knew that if she could just but touch the hem of the garment, the robe of Jesus Christ, she knew she'd be made whole. And she did. She some way got through the crowd and she touched Jesus' garment, and immediately she was healed. And it doesn't say in this particular passage, but in the other passages, it says Jesus turns to his disciples and he said, Who touched me? And the disciples almost laughed. What do you mean, Jesus, who touched you? There's people all around us. Anyone could have touched you. Jesus said, wait a minute. No. You don't understand. Virtue left from me. Somebody touched me. And my virtue went out to them. And the Bible says this woman was healed immediately. And she fell down and she worshiped the Lord Jesus. And he said, daughter, get up. He said, your faith has made you whole. Listen, there have been some amazing miracles of healing that people had seen in Jesus' life here as he began his public ministry. Now, there's only one true healer. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. There's only one true healer. And we've got to understand healing today in the context and in the nature of God himself. Listen, two things about healing you need to understand right at the front. Number one, God is all powerful and he can heal any disease. Amen. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is impossible for our God. He's all powerful, first of all. And number two thing, God is sovereign. What does that mean, preacher? God's sovereign. It means God can heal anybody he wants to, and he can refuse to heal anybody he doesn't want to. He has all power, he is able, and he's all sovereign God. But he always works, listen to me, he always works in the best interest of the person who needs a touch from his hand. We don't understand sometimes how God works. And I don't believe we'll ever understand how God truly works. But nonetheless, we can do this. We can be sure that all that he does is in that person's best interest, and it's always right. Always right. According to God's great mercy and God's great goodness, God loves us. And it really touches God deeply when we hurt. And when we have pain and when we suffer, it really touches our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, even in our estimation, if God doesn't work like we think he should, or how he should, or when he should, you can be sure of this. God does do things decently and in order, and they're always right. Now, I want to do something. I want to lay down some principles. I got two things I want to share with you concerning healing. Number one, I want to give you some principles that we need to understand about healing. Then I'm going to turn the tables after I share this, and I want to show you the pretense of healing that's being done today. Now, let's look at, first of all, some principles concerning healing. I hope you'll write these down. I hope you'll make a note. I am sure you're going to need these again sometimes. Five things I want to share with you. First of all of them refer to healing. In healing, first of all, the will of God is paramount. The will of God is first, and the will of God is foremost. Respect it. The will of God in healing is paramount. Respect it. Now, I said earlier, the will of God is sometimes very difficult for us to understand because we're living in a limited, earthbound perspective. It's even sometimes more difficult to accept the will of God in things in cases of great suffering or severe pain. But when we're in pain, or our loved ones or friends are in pain, we've got to know this. God's always going to do what's best, and God's always going to do what is right. Because all of God's ways, including our afflictions now, God's ways are always deeply concerned with our welfare. But God's will in the matter is the first and foremost and paramount thing concerning healing. Now, all the healing, let me back up and say this. All the suffering we have to go through in our lives, all of our lives and all of our suffering, they're all fitly joined together to bring us better things and better days in days to come. I can promise you that for sure. Now, remember the story of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul prayed to the Lord three times for healing, didn't he? Concerning that thorn in his flesh, don't need to know what it was, just know it was physical. He suffered, he carried it to his grave. And I believe the Apostle Paul had as much faith as most anybody, wouldn't you agree? And so he prayed three times and asked God to remove it, take it away, deal with it. And the Lord said, no, Paul, can't take it away, not going to take it away. He could have, but he said, I'm not going to. But I'm going to give you my grace. And because God gave Paul grace and the mercy of God on his life, what a great blessing. Even with that burden he carried of pain and suffering all the days of his life, what a blessing he was to other people. Sometimes God doesn't heal everybody. But if he doesn't, he always gives grace and he gives mercy and he causes them to be a blessing to many other people, just as it was the Apostle Paul. So remember, first of all, concerning healing, the will of God is paramount. Respect that above everything else. Rule number two, principle number two, in healing, help from God is imperative. Seek it. Help from God is imperative. Seek it. Now, contrary to a lot of popular opinion and popular beliefs today, prayer was never intended. Now, hear me well. Don't cut me off. Just listen. Prayer was never intended to replace competent medical care. You believe that? Don't sound like you're too convinced. Prayer was never intended to take the place of good medical care. God's grace to all of us includes the gift of medical science. Whether you realize it or not, if you've ever had surgery, possibly, you might have had a surgeon, a doctor, or some other physician to attend to you, to help you, that you got well, and the hands of that person might be hands of an unbeliever. And God still used them for your welfare, didn't he? So you see, help ultimately comes from God, doesn't it? In healing. How imperative the help of God has to be in healing. So we've got to always seek the help of God. Principle number three in healing. In healing, prayer is commanded, obey it. Prayer is commanded, obey it. If and when we do everything we can do for our friends or our families or our loved ones, when we've done all we can do to bring them hope, to bring them some kind of encouragement, to bring them some kind of peace in their lives, listen, we do it all under the very providence of God. Now, I know that, let me say for myself, I can speak for me because I know about me. My sister was dying with cancer, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for God to heal her of that cancer. And God did not choose to heal my sister on this side. So at a point in time, I had to have a peace about the fact that I didn't believe God was going to heal my sister physically, and he didn't. But he healed her spiritually, and she's on the other side with him today. So prayer is important. It's commanded of us. Are we not commanded to seek God in prayer? To pray, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. Watch and pray. Jesus was our example in praying about all things. Does he not invite us to cast all our cares on him in prayer because he deeply cares for us? So in healing, prayer is commanded and we ought to obey it and pray. He cares deeply about us. And God cares when we hurt. Sometimes we may not think he does, but he does. We can trust him, again, I say, to do what's right. That's principle number three. Principle number four in healing is this. Confession and repentance of sin is healthy. Practice it. Confession of sin and repentance is very healthy. We need to practice it. Do you believe not all sickness is related to somebody sinning? We've studied about that. You ought to know that. Remember Job and all that went on in his life. sitting in a garbage heap, we would say, with boils all over his body, scraping those boils with pieces of old broken pottery. Was it because Job sinned that he was there? No. What about the blind man we just studied a few weeks ago, who was born blind? It was no sin of his or his parents, Jesus said, that this man was born blind, but it was for the glory of God. So you see, not every sickness is related to somebody committing a sin. Yet never rule it out. Don't you rule it out. It could happen. People do have sicknesses because of some sin in their life. Look at those drug addicts. Look at the alcoholics. Look at the ones who've contracted AIDS. All kinds of diseases and illnesses we know are directly related to sin in somebody's life. So you see, confession of sin and repentance of sin, even though we might think it insignificant, is always very, very, very important. Well, even if we don't think it is at the time, it's still very important. Well, even if sin has nothing to do with a person's illness, constant repentance of sin in our lives and confession of sin in our lives, even in our lives, all of our lives, it keeps us in our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It keeps us in a point where other things won't distract us. We never get beyond the need of confession of our sins and repenting of our sins. So even in healing, confession of sin and repentance is healthy. Practice it. All right, principle number 5. Healing comes from God. Celebrate it. All healing comes from God. When someone's health is restored, when a great miracle takes place in somebody's life who's been suffering, then we are by measure to give God the glory, even if God uses physicians, and He does many times. I know a lot of friends who are physicians, who are godly men. Others may not be Christians, but they're competent physicians. Even if God uses those who do not know Him to bring about healing in somebody's life, then we still must give God the credit, shouldn't we? Don't we? Because it's always Him who heals. Even if it was a supernatural touch of God, or if it was through surgery, still the healing has to come from God. I don't know at the times over the years, I've prayed with people in the hospital, and I tell them, we thank God for medical science. I thank God for procedures. I thank God for surgery. I've had a couple. I thank God for godly men who can use godly talents. And even those who may not know God, God still uses them. I thank God for it. But our God deserves all the credit and praise and honor and glory. And we need to thank Him when our healing is received. So those are just some things I want you to think about, principles in the healing process. Now I want to turn the thoughts completely almost the other way. And I want to look at some things with you about the so-called healers of today. I want to look at the pretense of healing with you. Now you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to, you know, go where I'm going, but this is what I believe the Lord gave me. When I turn on my TV sometimes and I see the mockery that some of these modern day healers are making of true divine healing, it really upsets me. It bothers me. I don't know about you. I look at them and look at their theatrics. I look at their processes, whatever they use, and I think, Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus never was like that. They're very clever today to hide their money-making schemes behind so-called divine healing. They'll give you some pious theology that they claim Well, thou, I'm an instrument of God. God uses me, and God works through me. And because of me, God does all this wonderful work. How perverse. How insulting is that to the Holy Ghost? It is. It really is. You think about it. They prey on people who have been made vulnerable by pain and sickness and illness. They have perfected the art of hope and guilt. And they balance it, listen, they balance it on profit. Now listen to me. Don't you make a mistake about what I'm saying. What they're doing today has nothing at all to do with compassion, but it has everything to do with cash. Amen? You see it, don't you? Yet, now listen to me. Don't misunderstand me. I do believe in divine healing, but I don't have any confidence in divine healers today. Yet, modern-day healers are only an amended version of the tricksters that you can find all down through the scriptures. From the Egyptian, look back all the way back to Moses if you want to. Those soothsayers, those so-called diviners, those so-called healers, they go all the way down through the New Testament, and they still are around us today. Listen to me. They might have changed their methods, but their motives are still the same. Money. You remember that little girl that the sorcerers were using in the New Testament, making money off of her? And Paul rebuked them in the name of the Lord. So you see, modern day healers are just like the ones in the New Testament, just like the ones in the Old Testament. Just change a little bit of methods, but the motive is still the same. Listen to me, beloved. Our God cannot be coerced. Amen? Our God cannot be tricked. Our God cannot be manipulated. Our God cannot be bribed into doing anything anyone tells him to do. God chooses freely to either heal or to not heal, according to his own will. Well, go back to the two stories I read at the beginning of this message. Look at that healing of Jairus' daughter, raising her from the dead. Look at that healing of this woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. Three things about both of those situations I want you to see. They coincide together. Look at this. In both those stories, their healing was instantaneous, and it was permanent. Right? Second thing about their healing, it was obvious and comprehensive. Everybody around saw it, knew what it was, knew how it happened. Third thing about it, the healing of Jairus' daughter and that woman with the issue of blood had nothing, listen, neither directly or indirectly had anything to do with any work of anybody. None whatsoever. Well, the modern day healers leave me wondering. I may wonder, you may not, but it does me. Leaves me wondering why they don't heal the paraplegics in the nursing homes. Why don't they heal blind people who've been blind born from their birth until this moment? Why don't they heal them? Why don't they heal victims of cerebral palsy and all kinds of related diseases that we know today are rampant everywhere we go? They always say, well, the healing that comes today comes from God, but it comes through me. You get that? It's got to come through me. I'm God's instrument of healing. And they make it very obvious that if anybody's going to be healed, they have to come to them for the healing. Now listen, last time I checked, they're not God. There's only one healer, I said, in the beginning. And it's Jesus Christ, nobody else but him. He's the healer. Well, it's strange. I don't find these modern day healers in the hospitals, Christy. I don't see them walking up down the hospital halls, going in rooms and healing people. Do you see that? No. I don't see that. Why are they not doing that? If they're such an instrument of God and God's power works only through them and by them, why don't they go into hospitals and clear out the hospitals? I don't find that, do you? No. Listen to me in closing. I'm going to close soon. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to just heal us physically and make us feel good about ourselves and make our lives on this earth just greater in length. That's a pampered idea that we think about healing today. Jesus did not come to earth to do that. He came to earth to heal the disease of all mankind that will take us out into eternity estranged from God. That's a disease that Jesus came on this earth to heal. Well, if Jesus healed every earthly disease known to mankind, you know what would happen? We'd still die. Every single one of us would still die. Do you know why we would? Because death is a consequence of sin. And all are sinned, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all added, as I preached last week, we've all added to Adam's sin, every single one of us. So because of that, the wages of sin is death. But thank God, the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the disease he came to heal. Why did Jesus do that? Because he would not be willing for our enemy to have the victory. He's not going to have the victory. Or he appears to be the victor, but he's the loser. Jesus would not let him have the ultimate victory. So you see, here's the way I kind of sum up things in my life. I am moving toward a state one day of divine protection and divine perfection. When I get on the other side, I will have been healed of everything down here that ever bothered me. And the final disease of death will be also done away with. All sorrow, all sickness, all pain, all suffering, all that we know about down here will be, the Bible says, former things. That'll be permanent healing, won't it? Well, look at Jesus' healing in these stories we just read a little while ago. These healings were, first of all, they were fully healed. They were finally healed. And they were freely healed. Didn't cost them one thing to be healed, did it? My opinion is just my opinion only. You can take yours. Modern day healers are frauds, as far as I am concerned. Remember, even today, and I say again, God still does heal people. We've seen it in our church family, have we not? I believe in divine healing. I believe God still heals people today. I believe we've seen it. I believe all of those things I just said. God does still heal people. But listen, these divine healers don't produce supernatural miracles like Jesus did when they professed to heal somebody. Something I'm talking about that crosses across the very laws of nature that our Lord does when he heals somebody. Well, physical pain and suffering and illnesses can overwhelm us. I'm talking about it overwhelms good, level-headed, godly people to cause them to start seeking for an answer or seeking for some help, sometimes, listen to me, in the wrong places with the unreliable people that they face. Well, I believe that's why this healing ministry today is big business. Don't you be ever taken in by the healers. If you want to be healed, you go to the healer, amen? And if you get any healing at all, it'll be from him. It'll be final, it'll be full, and it'll be free. Won't cost you a thing, amen?